radioactive.fm. It's 8:18 this morning. Good morning, Tony Grasso.
Good morning, Maggie. How are you?
Very well this morning. And now you've got a pretty interesting story I thought we should start with.
Okay.
About electric scooters.
Oh, yes.
Being able to stop them?
Yes.
In their tracks?
Hackham. So this is kind of fun because I live in the Hutt Valley area, and lime scooters are everywhere, and I've had a go on them, and they're awfully good fun. But I read this, so this is not my research, but I read this hacking article where people are able to get into these scooters and do things like switch them off in mid-flow. Which is effectively
unbelievable.
It's not that they can't put the brakes on because the brakes are mechanical, but there's because there's friction, of course, with the electric motor, and when you just flick it off, you just come to a grinding halt pretty quick. So if you're doing naughty things like crossing traffic or something, and someone switches it off, it could get all a bit exciting.
Do you know if that's just something people can do with independent e-scooters, or whether it's any company that somebody could potentially hack?
I don't know, but I'd imagine the technology is fairly much the same, because you need your mobile phone to unlock the scooter, right? So the mobile phone is the thing that connects to the central server that gives you an authorization code that you send over to the scooter. I'd imagine the security between your phone and the scooter is pretty poor. We talk about this all the time. In that it's always about the new technology. It's not about security. That always kind of comes second, right? And so people have found out that they can hack into it and do stuff. But then again, on the risk score, you know, do we really have to worry about it? Not really, you know, because...
People are getting seriously injured.
Yeah, of course, but we haven't had any recordings of that. You have to be very close to the device to do that. I'm just saying that often with these kinds of threats, people get all overexcited about it. And I'm just saying we need to keep it in context. The company, though, does have to do something about it, because somebody will get injured, right, at some point. You know,
there was a man in Auckland last week that his Lime scooter came to a grinding halt and he flew off it.
Yes.
And seriously injured himself.
Going downhill.
Downhill.
And it does say on the thing, don't go downhill on it. I know that because I unlocked mine and said, don't go downhill. I was with my daughter, and so she immediately went downhill to find out why not. And you can get injured on these. There's no doubt about it. But remember, you have to be within proximity to use this attack. You can't be sitting at home and do it, right? And I'd actually hope if there's any listeners out there who, because I am told anecdotally by a friend of mine on the train this morning that he knows people that have hacked into the Lime scooters up in Upper Hutt. So if anyone's done that, I'd love to hear about it. And I will keep your anonymity. Tell me about it.
Come here with some hard facts.
Yeah, man. I'd love to hear about it. And I'd love to, you know, let's talk about actually what the threats are. You know, that would be very cool.
And how simple it is to do it if you have the intelligence to do so.
And I'm not encouraging people to go and do it. I'm not encouraging anyone to go and do it.
Thank you for reiterating that.
I better do that.
Popular beauty apps like Selfie Camera Pro, Emoji Camera Art, Art Filter, Photo Effects, Pixture, if you have any of those on your phone, it could be potentially dangerous because they've been caught stealing user photos. Is having these apps on Google Play enough to legitimise them?
Well, no. So we know that we've always had this problem. My top tip is go to the gym. Because what these apps are there to do are to beautify you, right? And I'm like, they wouldn't work on me no matter how hard I tried. But I think it's really interesting
So the purpose of these beauty apps is what they're kind of blanket calling them, is to make somebody
skinnier, with muscles.
Appear different to how they already look. But you're saying that they're using those photos harm.
Yeah, so what the apps do is that they just use it to either take credentials off your phone, or because it's the latest thing, right? Everybody wants it. So these fake apps have had millions of downloads, not one or two, millions of downloads, because it's the latest craze, right? So they're taking your photos. Who knows where they're going? It's just creepy for a start, but secondly, they now have access to your phone. Right. So it could be your contact details and other things. It's all about getting access to your phone. So the usual things apply. If you don't recognize the company, don't download it. If it's from like Microsoft or Google, right, that's cool, because it'll be an OK app. If it's a company you've never heard of, you have to question whether you should be downloading it. You know, reviews are there for a reason. User reviews are really, really useful. If it doesn't have any reviews, or only has one or two, or they look like they've been cut and paste, which is often what they do as well to try and bump up their scores, then don't download it. It's dangerous.
And there's 29 of these apps that have been accused of doing that.
Yeah.
So if you've got any of those on your phone, definitely delete.
Yeah, absolutely, delete it. And also they make it really hard for you to delete because and interestingly, it's the same old chestnut. They're redirecting you either to pornographic sites, where they get money, or they're going to phishing sites to get your credentials to do other things. It's the same old chestnut, just in a different form.
Would these be able to slow down your phone as well?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, because it's not going to be coded very well. They won't want to be doing it, but it will do it probably by default. That's not the intention of it, if you know what I mean. But you don't want crap on your phone.
Australia is suspecting a Chinese state-sponsored attack is to blame for its latest breach in Parliament.
Yes.
Federal Parliament said that they have evidence of information being taken. Other than kind of slowing down their systems, financial burden, what other implications will this have on the government if no secrets were stolen?
Yeah, no, I think that's a very interesting point because people often think that the most prized information is anything that's got the secret tag or top secret or so on. I mean, that information is, of course, useful and interesting, but it's normally well guarded. But there's an awful lot of information that normal governments have, right, that are interesting to foreign governments, like what is the foreign policy? Who are they? What companies or what countries are they going to be targeting for trade? Right. Or what areas are suffering in their industries that they're trying to promote? You know, what initiatives do they have? Even if it was like stuff like the bids for, I don't know, the Olympics and stuff like that, that's all really good information because it brings a huge amount. It boils down to dollars, right? It brings a huge amount of revenue, something like the Olympics or some other national event that people have to bid for in countries. So there's lots of stuff that's held in all these government, your health policies, all of that kind of stuff. It's really useful for a competing country to find out about. You know, it's not just the top secret stuff.
This latest breach, they think that there hasn't been anything that's actually been taken, but essentially is it kind of a scoping situation to get inside and have a look to see what valuable information could be poached?
Yeah, it could be. It could be that kind of exercise. It could be.
Surely having a look is taking information without, you know, actually downloading it, right?
Yeah, well, because what they've tried to do maybe is hide the fact that they were there by not downloading too much because they couldn't find anything juicy, but they got kind of bumped. Or it could be a fake. It could be a fake attack, and they were actually attacking somewhere else. I mean, the thing about intelligence gathering, it's a big game. Who knows? You know, and you just have to protect yourself, really.
As far as, like, on an international scale, do you think New Zealand will be scaling up its cybersecurity efforts with the government in case something like that would happen?
Well, so we've reported quite a few times, actually, that the Jacinda has come out and said we've actually been attacked by the Chinese and Russians. And so so more emphasis is being put on cybersecurity.
But has there been a breach?
So she reported that there were.
Last year. Yeah,
last year.
But not this year?
Well, she hasn't reported from the Bureau, I think is where she got her statistics from, haven't reported anything. But there is no doubt that cyber attacks are going on all the time. I mean, this is what I do for a living. And we find in every organization we've been in, there's malware actively working. We don't know what it does because that's not what I'm there to do, right? I do hand it over to the right authorities, but it happens all the time in every organization I've been in. And who knows what they're accruing and for why?
Huawei, Australia, there's been some pushback from them. They're banning the phones, but New Zealand hasn't really followed in its footsteps. What's our perspective here?
So Huawei are a Chinese manufacturer of not just mobile phones, but network infrastructure as well, and for phones, phone infrastructure. And interestingly, Australians have taken a stance just banning everything. I think New Zealand, I don't know, but I will be looking on with great interest on what our New Zealand on what our Australian cousins do. That said, you can't beat the fact that their technology is cheap and it's very well made, and there is a dollar value that you have to worry about here, right, as well. as maybe the loss that you may get from maybe gathering intelligence or something. And I'm not saying that they are, but I think that's what the threat is. But the UK have dealt with this by having a testing centre that is run by an ex-colleague of mine. And I know that Huawei stuff is being allowed into the UK. But they put rigorous testing in to make sure that the stuff that goes in has been through this quality assurance programme, right?
Is the cost not outweighing the result?
I guess not, you know, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it, right? As we know, you know, I buy an awful lot of normal stuff like jeans and all kinds of shirts and things from China because it's just ridiculously cheap compared to a comparable price, right? So it's the same thing applies and you scale it up. They must be saving millions, if not billions of dollars on infrastructure and you can't turn your nose up at it.
So Britain's kind of pro 5G at the moment then?
Pro Huawei. They're allowing them into the country. 5G is... 5G is the next one from 4G, which is basically more data transfer, right? So it's the same thing. It's the 5G is following like we did in our houses where we had dial-up and then we had ADSL and now we've got fibre. It's the same thing. 3G, 4G, 5G is about speed, generally speaking, as well as other stuff. And Huawei are trying to put in 5G here, right?
In New Zealand, yeah.
In New Zealand. And so I don't know where that's going to go because people, the thing is, we all want 5G. I want 5G because it's be easier for me to download stuff and watch Netflix. And Huawei saying, and we can put it in for a low, low price. It's hard to turn away. But what we should be doing is doing what the UK do, which is either source it from the UK, so it's already been checked or something like that, or we have our own testing centres. Because I think it must, the cost benefit must work out. Otherwise,
is it realistic for New Zealand to have those, though, I wonder?
Yeah.
If it's not on such a large scale as it would be.
Collaboration, though. This is why we have, we need to collaborate better with our other partners, the UK being one of them, right? And work with them and have our government talk to that government and say, can we work with your research? And we have people here who know what they're doing, like me. And did I say that? What a plug. And have that done here. You know, that's what we should be doing, right? Rather than trying to reinvent the wheel, well, let's collaborate. But also put back into the pot so that we actually get a piece of work to do that we can give back to the UK and say, or one of our partners and say, we did this research and this is the result.
Speaking of collaboration, police commissioners from the four different countries have signed a memorandum of understanding in Sydney last week to establish a kind of task force that helps increase New Zealand's presence in Australia across the Pacific areas in intelligence. Talk to me about it. It's quite hard to figure out exactly what they're doing, but
what's
it's kind
point?
Of like a transnational agreement, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a marvellous segue that we that just came out of that. Yeah, absolutely. So the purpose of it is that we all work together and exert our skills across the Pacific because...
Protecting the Pacific?
Yeah, because we're all here. This is our domain, our stomping ground, as they would say in England. And we need to look after our neighbours, who are probably less capable than we are about certain things, because we know that technically we're, you know, further ahead than they are. Now, this is an old paradigm, because banks suffered from cyber attacks because they were very obviously an easy target. So they protected themselves, and then they found third party, like small contractors that had access to banks, became the weakness to get into the bank. So New Zealand is the bank, and these poorer or less capable countries in the Pacific are our neighbours, right? And so they would be attacked to get to us. So it makes sense to help them become better protected so that it helps us be more protected, right? Because then, if getting onto one of the islands was a lot harder to launch attacks to us, you know, it all makes sense and we'll become better protected. And we used to do this sort of thing geographically. Like the Americans, the amount of influence they have over in Europe is about them protecting, using those countries to help protect their own borders because it makes their friendly forces stronger to protect them against the other nations that are maybe not so pro-American.
And you've got one final story to discuss with me. Let's go kind of along the dark web line.
Oh, yeah. So this is the Dark Hydrus. So these people have... they are a hacking group, and they're all about gathering credentials. That's kind of all they do, and they are quite well documented for gathering intelligence on and credential harvesting. I thought what was kind of interesting about this one is they do all very clever stuff like DNS tunneling, which is using a protocol called domain name servers to exfiltrate information. Because what they're trying to do is hide the fact that they're taking out data. Because when we talk about the Australian one, you know, the Australian story, the reason why they probably haven't found the data is because they're not maybe looking in the right place. Because they found another way to exfiltrate it out where we wouldn't normally look. So this is the game, right? It's always trying to change the way you do things to get data out so people like me wouldn't look there. And so what they've done, they used to use DNS tunneling, which is all very clever, and they just went, well, let's not do that. Let's use the Google Drive instead. And they're actually using that to send data out and to send commands down to their malware. I think that's really clever. Because you're also getting all the, you're leveraging all of that security experience that Google have, right?
To protect your information.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you've harvested illegally.
That you've stolen.
Wow.
Isn't that clever? Wish I thought of that.
No, you don't.
No, I didn't mean that. That's two screw-ups in one session.
Tony, thank you again. Always interesting having a chat with you. And we'll follow that story a little bit more.
Thanks, Maggie. Cheers. Thank you very much. Bye.